Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now, last week we saw that the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in and of itself was not a mystery. Look at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So this is something Paul spoke to these saints back there in the book of Acts 18. Which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. These are things that they had standing in when the Apostle Paul gave it to them. Verse number 2. By which also ye are saved. Now this salvation is not their soul salvation. You can be saved from the penalty of your sins, hell and the lake of fire. You could also be saved daily from confusion and from the power of the devil. And that's what Paul is talking about. The devil wants to make sure you know nothing about God's truth. And they lost an understanding about the bodily resurrection. Notice he says, you're saved, verse 2, if, the key word is if there, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Go down to verse 11. Verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead. What Paul preached to these people was that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Notice verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And last week we went through all of those Scriptures in the Old Testament that showed his death was prophesied, his burial was prophesied, and his resurrection, and his death for sins. He didn't die for his own self. He was sinless. He died for your sins and mine. And the way you get that imputed is by faith, okay? You have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, we left off last week by saying the fact that he died, he rose from the dead, was not that was prophesied. That wasn't a mystery. But the meaning of it for you and I as Gentiles, as people who weren't part of the nation of Israel, that was kept secret. Go with me, if you will, back to Romans chapter number 3. Go to Romans chapter number 3. That death on the cross, although prophesied, it had no bearing on our salvation as Gentiles. It was prophesied for the nation of Israel. Now, it's true that Gentiles could and would get saved through Israel in that earthly kingdom that he's going to set up. But that's not what Paul is dealing with. Paul is talking about salvation full and free, not by works, but by faith alone. Go with me back to chapter number 3. Let me show you what that cross work meant to us. Look at verse number, verse 20. Start at verse 19. Romans 3:19. Paul says, now we know. The information that God kept secret and he gave to the Apostle Paul is now made known. Watch what he says. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, the Ten Commandments and all those things that God gave the nation of Israel, Israel looked at those heathen and said, yeah, they're the bad guys. But what Paul is saying, no, we all are bad guys, we Jews and Gentiles. Notice in verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. At the time Paul wrote this, the Jews were still in that temple worship of the law. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. We Gentiles were already guilty before Almighty God. And what the law did was condemn the Jews as well, the nation of Israel. Now everybody's guilty. Look at verse 20. Therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The law is simply religion. People think that by their religious works they'll be right with God. God says, no, you're not. That law, that religion, is a way to bind yourself back to God, and God doesn't accept your evil works or your good works. It doesn't even matter the works. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, these were good works, there shall no flesh, both Jew or Gentile, notice, be justified or declared righteous in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. God gave that law, those Ten Commandments, so that it can make you know you are a sinner. We're sinners. But there's good news. That's the bad news. Look at the good news. Verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God, how? Without the law. The reason why God could save us by grace through faith today is because he's not using the law to make you righteous, justify you. Look at verse 21. But now, that's in this present dispensation of grace, the righteousness of God. God wants a righteousness, but it's his righteousness without the law. It's manifested. It's made it known. Notice how he does it. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. He puts something in the Old Testament pointing to someone. The entire Bible points to one man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here, verse number 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, now watch this, of Jesus Christ. If your Bible says faith in Jesus, the focus then it becomes you. But here it says the faith of Jesus. He had perfect faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. It's unto all. It's available to all. If you're saved, if you're not saved today, God wants you to be saved through His Son. Notice He says, it's unto all and upon all them that believe. That's what faith means in the Scriptures. Faith is believing what God says. That's true faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. He wants you to believe His Word. Then notice in verse 22, for there is no difference, for all have sinned. You know you're a sinner. We're sinners. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, His perfect righteousness. What hell and the lake of fire is designed to do is to put the people who are not perfect where they belong. Well, then you say, Brother Ryan, nobody's perfect. Exactly. But one person was, the Lord Jesus. And what Jesus Christ our Lord did, He took God's wrath for us. Notice it says, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified, what's that next word? Freely by His grace. It's by the grace of God. You get salvation with no works. There was no other people who got salvation without works. All the way back to Adam and Eve, people had to work to please God, to be right. It's not until you come to Paul where you see the grace of God. Notice what he says here, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace. Now notice how it comes. Through the redemption. He's a Savior. He's a Redeemer. That is in Christ Jesus. It's in Him. And look what God the Father has done with the Lord Jesus. 25. Whom God hath set forth. God set Him forth. If you want to know God's prescription for your sinful life, it's the Lord Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or a payment, a fully satisfying payment. Notice it's through faith and His what? Blood. Some versions take the blood out of the passage in Colossians 1:14. Why take the blood out? Because Satan hates the blood of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross is powerful. It can save us from our sins. Okay? Go back, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. Go back one book ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So although the events of the cross were prophesied, not of history, the benefit, the spiritual benefit for you and I today as Gentiles in this dispensation of grace was hidden. God never told people that they would be saved by His grace through their faith in the Lord Jesus alone forever. Israel didn't have that. Nobody else had that. We have that today. That's the grace of God. Alright? So we need to be thankful for that. Notice what he says here in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 4. And that He was buried. We saw Him put in that tomb by Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus, put in the rich man's tomb. And He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. God sent that mighty angel down, moved that stone so they could look in that tomb and see He was gone. Where's His body? Produce the body. It's raised from the dead. And here's the proof. Verse 5. And that He was seen of Cephas. Cephas is the Hebrew name for Peter. Peter was called Cephas by the Lord. Let me get my notes right here. Peter was called Cephas by the Lord. Oh, here it is. In John chapter number 1, verse 42. You can read that on your own. Cephas is his Hebrew name. It means a stone. And when he's talking about Cephas, that's when he's talking about Peter. Simon Peter. Verse 5. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. The 12 is the name that the 12 apostles had. Even though Judas had already died, the betrayer had already died, they're known as the 12. Okay? Let me show you that. He talks about the 12. Go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 24. I rounded up. I could actually. Go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. The four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 24. When it says He was seen of the 12. The 12 is just a term used to describe the apostles of His earthly ministry. Even though it was only 11 of them, okay, at the time He resurrected. Because Judas had died as they were killing the Lord Jesus Christ, or going to kill Him. Look at Luke chapter number 24 and verse 34. Luke 24, verse 34. So this is him appearing to Simon. Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and appeared unto Simon. So that's him appearing unto Cephas, or that's Simon Peter. Go over to the book of John. Look at John chapter 20. Go over to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then the next one is John, John chapter 20. So this is proof of his resurrection. He was seen by people. If you go in a court of law, you can prove that the Lord Jesus Christ both lived, died, was buried, rose again. You can prove it in a court of law. People have. The case for Christ. I'm from Chicago. There was a Chicago journalist slash lawyer, Lee Strobel. And he was an atheist who was set out to prove that the resurrection of Jesus Christ didn't happen. You know what happened when he investigated with his lawyer still? He realized it did happen, and he trusted the Lord. And he wrote a book called The Case for Christ, okay? Because he said there's more forensic evidence in a courtroom, court of law, that proved the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
He also did a mock trial at Harvard Law School, which is like the height of law in our country, right? And they proved that it was legitimate under our legal statute.
What Ryan said, Dory, so you can hear, they did a mock trial trying to prove this or disprove it in Harvard Law School, which is the highest, you know, one of the highest law schools, and they proved that it stood up in court, that the validity of it. Look at John chapter 20. Thanks for sharing that. Look at John chapter 20, verse 24. And when we're done with this, I'm going to show you why it's important that you understand why Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Because each and every one of us is going to stand before him and give an account of our lives. You're not going to skirt this. Look at John chapter 20, verse 24. He says, but Thomas, notice, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. You heard of doubting Thomas. He says, unless I see the nail prints where he was crucified, or feel the hole where the Roman soldier stuck him with the spear, I won't believe. That's where the term doubting Thomas. He's one of the apostles. Go down and look at chapter number 20, verse 19. Chapter number 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and he stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Okay? So he's talking about this time when they were together. And Thomas is one of the 12. So although Judas died, they were still called the 12. Okay? And obviously later in the book of Acts, they get a replacement for Judas, Matthias. He saw the Lord as well. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Matthias saw the Lord Jesus Christ too, because that's what an apostle is. He sees the resurrected Christ. look at verse 20, Acts 1 verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, so God prophesied about this. Let his, that's Judas, the betrayer, his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric or his office let another take. I'm a bishop, that's an office, okay? Verse 21. Wherefore these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John. So you had to be there from the beginning. Now notice, until the same day that he was taken up from us when he ascended into heaven, one must be ordained to be a witness with us of his what? Resurrection. And what an apostle does, he's a witness to the resurrected Lord Jesus. Okay? Now, why is that important? Go with me, if you will, to Acts 17.
Ron,
yes?
The one that betrayed him,
uh-huh,
didn't see his resurrection.
Correct.
He was gone.
Judas died before the Lord even died.
Right.
Judas, when they took the Lord and they gave Judas the money, the betrayer, he threw it down. He says, I can't do this. And they were like, well, we don't care. It was done, man. But he did die before the Lord died. Was crucified. Yeah. So Judas didn't sin. He didn't qualify.
Right.
Matthias did. Back to Acts 17. Thank you for that, Dodie. That's a good point. Acts 17. Paul talks about the fact that every man is going to stand before the Lord. Verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. By the way, that's what the heathen are. They're just superstitious in their beliefs. God doesn't want them to be superstitious. He wants you to know facts and truth. So he'll send someone with the truth. And he sent Paul, verse 23. For as I passed by, the Apostle Paul says, and beheld your devotions. The heathen have devotions. Religious people have devotions all the time. They're having them right now on Sundays, having devotions. Paul witnessed this. He says, you don't even know what you're doing. Watch this. I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. Just in case they forgot a God, they said, well, there's an unknown God. So they made an altar and just put the unknown God, whoever you are, okay, the big man upstairs. Paul says, let me tell you about the big man upstairs. Watch this. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temple made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath in all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. We all have that same blood from Adam. No matter what color, race, Adam, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Jacob. And whether you come from Shem, the Jews and the Arabs and so forth, whether you come from Ham, the Africans, or Jacob, the Europeans and so forth, we all have the same blood. Verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed. God has a schedule that he's operating on, a time schedule. And the bounds of their habitation, who would be where, when, which nations. He's going to set all that up, even in the future. Why the focus on Israel and ISIS and all that? That is the stage being set for God to return and deal with his people in that land, the land he promised Abraham. He says right there. But he made nations, verse 27, back in Genesis 11, he made nations that they should do what? Seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. It's not hard to find the true and living God. You just have to say, I just hate this, brother. He goes, I just say, God, if you're out there, you said, I seek you, you'll show yourself. That guy's a grace believer. He began a spiritual journey. He's not that far. He's not far from him. He wants you to know him. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said. Paul quoted some heathen poets. Says, you know how they got it? It's true. This witness is true. For we are all also his offspring. We spring forth from God. For as much then, verse 29, as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. God don't need you to make those images and those idols. In the Ten Commandments, it says, you should not make any graven images to worship. Verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at. He says, I see you down there. I'm not dealing with you, but I see you. If you got little children, I got a six-year-old, you got little children here, they think they get away with stuff. He said, I see you over there. I got my eye on you. That's what God said to us heathen. I see you. Watch this. That's why Paul came on the scene. Verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. You better change your mind about the true living God. Why? Because he hath appointed a day, you heard a judgment day, in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Every human being is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he was resurrected. Watch this. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. By that man whom he hath ordained, that's the Lord Jesus, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. Here's your assurance, folks, our assurance, and that he, God, hath raised him, Jesus, from the dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the judge, the righteous judge, and he's going to judge all of us one day. He's going to give an account. That's what Paul is dealing with. The Lord was resurrected because God the Father has a job for him. To be the righteous judge. Go back to John. Go back to the Gospel of John chapter 5. Go back to the Gospel of John chapter 5. The reason why Jesus had to become a man, for many reasons, is the fact that you can't say, well, Lord, you just don't understand. It was this, that, or the other. He says, I do understand. I was a man. I am a man. He's still the man, Christ Jesus. You're going to see him. He's got holes in his hands. He's going to say, you see my hands? This was for you, and you didn't trust me. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse number 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, gives them life, even so the Son quickeneth or brings back to life whomsoever he will. For the Father judgeth no man. God the Father won't do the judging, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Yeah. The Lord Jesus Christ.
People think God's going to judge.
Well, God in the person of his Son. Yes, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't seen
that. Oh, yeah. Verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority. That's the word there, Joey. Yeah. Hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, he can look at every human and say, look, I was human too. I lived in this dark world, and I did the will of the Father. And then I died on that cross for your sins, and still you didn't trust me. And he takes those angels, he says, cast them out into the fiery flame. But they didn't want me. That's the main reason the Lord Jesus resurrected. God the Father has a job for that righteous judge. The Lord means the righteous judge. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the righteous judge. He's going to judge us all. Every human being is going to stand before the Lord Jesus and give an account. Go back to chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if you're wondering about this judgment, the good news is we have a book to tell us how we can be right when we stand before Him. And that's my job today. We have people always contact, they go on the YouTube, they've even heard this stuff. And they'll contact, and that's why we're here. We're going to show people that you can know for sure when you stand before the righteous judge, you're right in His eyes. But there's a prescription that He put in the book. And that's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to look at how to be right with God. And it's only one way. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to trust His shed blood. And when you trust His shed blood, you at least know there's no way for you to ever go to hell in a lake of fire, because He took for that. For us as believers, the judgment seat of Christ, that's not to whether we go to heaven or hell. We're already in heaven at the judgment seat. It's what is going to be our eternal reward, or lack thereof. Are we going to suffer loss? What are we going to do for God? Will we be acceptable to Him in our sanctification, our walk? That's what it is for us believers. But if you're lost, you're going to come up with the great white throne and the great day of judgment and be destroyed, okay, out of His presence. Well, that's the God raised Him from the dead. Look at verse 6. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Remember, He went into Galilee, right? He only had in Jerusalem about 125 believers there in Jerusalem. But He had His main ministry up north in Galilee. And when He rose from the dead, He says, I go to Galilee. Now go back to Matthew 26. I want you to see that. Matthew 26. So a number of people saw Him. It wasn't no little tiny group of people. When those 500 brethren at once, he had disciples all up in Galilee. They were afraid to go to Jerusalem because of the persecution, but they were out there. He had disciples outside. Ananias was in Damascus. He's the one who told Paul about that the Lord chose him for this purpose. All right, go back to what I tell you to Matthew 26. Go to Matthew 26. So you can't say it was just a few people that saw Him. Paul says above 500 brethren at once. Look at verse Matthew 26 and verse 32. Verse 32. Christ is foretelling His death, burial, and resurrection. He says, but after I am risen again, imagine that. You say, before He died, He says, I'm going to die, but I'm going to raise from the dead. I'm going to raise myself. The Father's going to raise me. The Spirit's going to raise me. The Godhead.
They still didn't hear.
They didn't understand, though. Verse number 32. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into where? Galilee, see? And when He went into Galilee, there were a number of His disciples who saw Him alive. That's what He's talking about. Go back to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. So as you study this out, He was seen. Now, why would He do that? Well, He wants to have a number of witnesses so people can say, hey, we saw the Lord. He's risen. Watch this. Verse 6, after that He was seen of above 500 brethren, more than, at one time. The only time I could think where that happened would have been in Galilee. one time. We could barely get 30 people in this room. He had 500 people collect. After his resurrection, said, I'm here. It's me. Look at my hands.
Some of them were old because they...
That's what he's going to say. Because when Paul wrote this, where's my... We got these things about the letters of Paul. Okay, we got copies. Dodie made. Thank you, Dodie. So get one. This is one, probably the best one I've seen of Paul's epistles when they were written. 1 Corinthians, AD 56. The Lord Jesus Christ died AD 31. So what is that? 25 years? 25 years after he rose from the dead. Notice what it says here. Verse 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. That's a long time, 25 years. I've been saved in grace for, this is my 20th year, 1996. He has been risen 25 years by the time Paul writes this. That's a long time, but there's some people who saw him still alive. Notice, verse 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom, and that's what you were saying, Dodie, of whom the greater part remain unto this presence. So most of those above 500 are still alive at the time, but some are falling asleep. That means some died. So I'm sure some of the older ones probably died off in that 25 years. But if you're if you're 42 like me and you see the Lord, later you're in your 60s, you come and say, hey, Brother Ron, you saw the Lord. I sure did. Just like it was yesterday, although it was 25 years ago. You could go and ask people. You could say, hey, you saw the risen Lord. By the way, some of the Corinthians, as they got saved, you and I haven't seen the risen Lord Jesus. We believe the word, I hope. But wouldn't that be cool to be like, buddy, you've been around a while. I messed with my father. But he would have been my age saying, yes, yeah, son, I saw the risen Lord 20 years ago, man. I saw him. That would have been a witness. We can't do that, but that would be cool that at that time they could actually go talk to people and say, did you see the Lord? They could say, yes. Notice, verse 7, after that he was seen of James. Now this is not James, the brother of John, the original apostle during his earthly ministry. He died in Acts 12. Which James is this?
His brother.
The Lord's brother. That's right, Richard. It's his brother. Because his family, his brothers, didn't believe on him until after he rose from the dead. They're his own family. And that's going to happen. A prophet is not without honor except among his own family, his own folks. They didn't appreciate what they had, but everybody else did. And so his own brother James became the leader of this little flock, Acts 21. James so this is James. Some people think that Mary, his mother, was a perpetual virgin. That's just nonsense. She married Joseph. She had 7 children, including Jesus. Between her and Joseph, they had 6 biological children. The Lord Jesus wasn't conceived by a man. He was conceived by the Spirit of God. That's why he didn't have a sin nature. They had Joseph Jr. His name was Joseph. They had a Simon. They had a Judas. And they had James. And they had a couple of girls, a couple of sisters. Okay. So the Lord Jesus had 6 siblings. One of them was James. And James became a witness of his brother's resurrection. Okay. He's an apostle. Look at verse 7. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So he had this appearance to all of them. But watch this. Get verse 8. And last of all, Paul writes, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. What does he mean by that, one born out of due time? There's a lot of different views on it, but the way the Jews talk about one born out of due time, it's like a premature, that's the word I'm looking for. I was trying to say, what's the word? Not a premature birth, right? For example, ladies, if you were pregnant, you have a due date, right? Jada Lynn, her due date was May 16, 2009, and she was born right on her due date, which hardly happens. Sometimes they're born after, right? The doctors say, now walk around, do all this stuff to get the baby to come out. But sometimes they have premature births, right, where they're not formed fully. Premature. It was unexpected, right? And when it says that as one born out of due time, Paul's appearance on the scene wasn't expected. Nobody expected God the Son to come out of heaven's glory in Acts 9 and save the chief of sinners, the Apostle Paul. God didn't prophesy about that happening. Everything was Israel would be under the wrath of God for a time, the time of Jacob's trouble. Then Jesus Christ would come and deliver them from their enemies. Today it's the Islamic nations around them. He's going to deliver them from Islam. Those nations won't destroy them in the Middle East. And then set up a kingdom. And then the Gentiles, you and I, would, through the gospel of the kingdom, we would be, you know, be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and be known about the Godhead. But that's not what God did. He saved Saul on the road to Damascus. He gave him a new message called the grace of God, by the grace of God, where he's going to save Gentiles not through Israel's rise, but through Israel's fall. Right? That's a mystery. The Old Testament prophets didn't see it. They didn't tell about it. God did it. And when he says, as one born out of due time, it was an unexpected thing God did. We're called the one new man, the body of Christ. And this baby just appeared on the scene. That's what happened. Women, y'all have to tell us. Kristen and I will turn and we'll see this. I was pregnant and didn't know it. It is so hard for me as a man to understand how a woman had a baby and didn't even know they were pregnant. I can't get it. It happens because I got a whole show about it. I can't wrap my mind. Did you miss periods, I guess, right? And then you don't gain. I don't know.
I know a lot of women like that.
Who had babies and didn't know they were pregnant? Like, I mean, it's real, but it's a real phenomenon. But it's hard. Well, that would have been this. That there, Paul just appeared on the scene and nobody knew. But God did. Go over to Titus chapter 1. Go forward to Titus chapter 1. Even though nobody, as far as humans, expected this to happen, God planned it that way. He planned it. This was a planned birth. Those ladies who have babies and don't know it, didn't know they were pregnant, those were unplanned. Pregnancies, unplanned deliveries. When God chose the Apostle Paul, that was planned. The most wise God had a plan, a purpose. From the beginning. That's right. We're going to look at that. Look at Titus chapter number 1. And then we'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Now look at verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, God cannot lie, promised when? Before the world began. Before God created anything, he had this message. Hey, brothers, come on in. Good to see you guys. We got some space over here, David and Daniel. Before the world began, God had this in mind. And although Paul's appearance on the stage of human history, God works on a 7,000-year time schedule. And all he mentioned was the prophetic things, the prophesied things about the Messiah and earthly kingdom. But in God's mind, he had something else for the heavenly places, you and I, the body of Christ. And what Paul is saying, God promised this. The Godhead came together and says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to reconcile both heaven and earth through you, my son. I have faith in your faithfulness, your blood, God the Father says. And the Son says, I'm here through your will, Father. And he says, through that blood of that cross. Now, we're not going to tell anybody. Because we're going to have that ancient adversary, Satan, Lucifer. He thinks he's really smart. He is. But you don't keep a secret. Yes, Father. And then, when Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, the creature that was most surprised was Satan himself. I can imagine Satan watching the Lord come down and say, what is he doing? You know when he would go and cast out those devils and they say, we know who thou art, Son of God. Are you come to torment us before the time? They understand God's timetable. So as Christ is coming down in Acts 9 and Satan says, what in the world is going on here? Looking at the book, no? And he sees him save Paul. The one whom Satan is using to persecute the people of Israel, the little flock. And it was something God had. Let's look at this. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times. See, God has a schedule for the dispensation of grace. And in giving these revelations to Paul, at the right time, God works on a time schedule, even in revelation of the mystery. Watch this, verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Preaching is warning and teaching. That's why I warn. A lot of preachers don't want to tell people about hell and stuff. They want, oh, God has a will for your life. And peace, the grace, the sweetness. Yeah, he is. But he He warns you that there's hell, man. There's a real hell and a real lake of fire that people who reject the God the Father through His Son go to. And God doesn't want that. So He warns and teaches. That's what preaching is, Colossians 1. And that preaching is through the Apostle Paul, verse 3. But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. What a favor. Paul wrote all these books of the Bible, wrote more books in your Bible than any man. Moses wrote 5, John wrote 5, Paul wrote 13 books. And he wrote those books to magnify his office and tell you and me today, if you want to know the Lord Jesus and God, you got to listen to Paul, because God committed it unto him. Go with me back to 2 Timothy 1. I'll take a water break. Go to 2 Timothy 1, if you will. 2 Timothy 1. When he does this, even though Paul wasn't planned, when he says it's one born out of due time, like that woman who has a premature birth, unexpected, God planned it. He just didn't tell anybody until Paul. Now, watch what he says here. Verse number 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what the Word of God does for you? It gives you the spirit of power, spiritual power, and it says love. That's why you share God with others. You love them. You know how it ends? Has anyone ever loved you enough to ask you if you were to die today, do you know for sure you're going to spend eternity? God's Word, it compels me to do that because I believe it. There's power there. And of a sound mind. You can think soberly and righteously and godly. You can discern things. But it's according to what he says to Paul. Watch this. Be not, verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. The word of God is true. The mystery is true. But your attitude towards the Apostle Paul is huge at the judgment as well. Nor of me his prisoner. Imagine having an apostle and he's in prison. They say, hey, where's your apostle at? Where's your teacher? Where's your master? Up in Roman prison over there? What are you doing in there? He didn't do nothing wrong. This was preaching the word. They put him in prison for preaching the word. Paul says, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me, man. I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. We're going to look at that. Notice here, he says, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. There's the message. Nor be his prisoner. There's the messenger. He calls himself his prisoner. He knew he was in prison for the Lord. Watch this. But be thou partaker. Oh, if you suffer, you shall also reign with us. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And that power of God is that spiritual strength you get from His Word and His Spirit. Watch this. Verse 9, I love this. Who hath saved us, Christ our Savior, God's grace through faith, hath saved us and called us with an holy, set apart holy calling. Not according to our what? We're the only group of people where God has dealt with, you have everlasting righteousness, at least the standing before God, no works. Everybody else had to work. Religion is just work to stay saved, work to get saved. Work. God says it's not according to our works, but notice, but according to His own purpose and grace. See, the grace of God comes out of the purpose of God. The reason Christ shed His blood is because God has a purpose. To save some people, to use us for His glory in the heavenly places today. Notice it says, according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, notice when? Before the world began. And although Paul came into human history, as far as his salvation, his ministry, it was unplanned. As far as man, God didn't even let him know. God had it planned. Notice, look at verse number 10. Before the world began, but is now, through Paul, made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. When you get saved, do you know you live forever with God? It's fantastic. No words. And hath brought life and immortality. We're going to live forever. To life through the gospel, where I am appointed a preacher. Paul's going to warn and teach you. An apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Go over to Romans chapter 16. So the message, before you do, go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. We're going to start our Colossians study on Wednesday at 7. Ephesians and Colossians, they're spousal books. They marry to each other. They say similar things. Ephesians is from God's perspective of His grace, not looking down at us poor souls. We trust Him. Colossians is us who are spiritually grown in that love and our devotion to our Lord Jesus. It talks about the reward and the inheritance, the thrones that we're going to reign on in the heavenly places. There's a show, I don't watch it, but I heard it was called Game of Thrones. And I kind of know the gist. Now, it's vulgar, okay, as far as the stuff. I heard people tell me about it. But I'm intrigued by it for this, because I know those heathen who made that, they give some information about how stuff is set up. Now, it's probably hard to listen to and watch that stuff, but I'm intrigued because they got some, it's called the Game of Thrones. There is some setting up kingdoms and pulling down. There's some of that, there's a lot of that in Scripture. I couldn't sit through all the vulgar stuff that's in there to see, but I'm intrigued by that because they're learning from the devils how God has set things up in the invisible world. They're just doing it in the physical dimension. Okay, from what I've heard about. Thrones. Listen, look at Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Paul knew he was in prison for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner, not of Rome, but of who? Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. These people weren't part of the nation of Israel. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. God gave it to Paul, and then Paul gives it to us. How that by revelation, Christ revealed this to the apostles through visions and revelation. He, that's Christ, made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore in a few words. Now watch this. What you're going to be judged on today, you and I, as believers, is what we know about the mystery of Christ. Now, how are you going to know about the mystery of Christ? Verse 4, whereby when ye read, you have to read the Apostle Paul. That's why it was 13 books today. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. God kept it secret, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So God first gave the revelation to Paul, but Paul couldn't be everywhere at once. He traveled. And so when men got saved through the gospel of grace, God gave them the supernatural ability to be prophets and get the word of God, and they gave the word out to the saints, okay? I'm doing the work of a prophet in this position by speaking forth the word of God. Well, they did it supernaturally before Paul wrote his epistles. He didn't write his first epistle, Galatians. Paul got saved in AD 32. He wrote Galatians about 49. So you're talking about 17 years before he even wrote his first epistle. Okay, so if it took 17 years for him to even write his first book, how did people know the mystery? Supernatural gifts. God, they had prophets, and they would, by the Spirit of God, the Spirit would speak through these men. Okay, but then God would write it down, and now he doesn't need the Spirit to do it. It's spiritual, but it's getting into the Word and aligning. And it's your part in the body. You know, God put the body together. I always knew my part was to teach the Word of God. From the beginning. It was the overwhelming passion that I had over anything else. That's my part. Well, God's Word can do that for everybody. You just have to get it in. Let's keep going. You'll play your part. Go to Romans chapter 16. Look at Romans chapter 16. Paul, his message is called the mystery of Christ. Romans chapter 16, look at verse 25. When Paul, he ends that first book of Romans, he says, now to him, Paul's going to give praise to God. Now to him that is of power to establish you. You want to be stable in your faith? Not be tossed to and fro? God can do that if you allow him. Notice, according to my gospel, see, it's Paul's gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. You have to have this, in your sanctification, you have to hear this message. You have to be, that's why we have an assembly. So you can come and hear the preaching of Jesus Christ according to Revelation. Listen, you have to have it preached, that dynamic of preaching. Which was kept secret since the world began. Satan didn't know it. Paul said that had Satan known what God was going to do to gain the heavens back, because Satan has the heavens and the earth, he's the god of this world for now. But if he would have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2, they would have let Jesus be king over all the earth, the king of kings on this earth. Satan says, take the earth. I got all the rest. Mm-hmm. But in his blind, delusional pride, he killed the Prince of Life, and God raised him from the dead. And through the blood of that cross, the power... See, you need the power of that blood. Why people, why baby, why was the innocence, innocent blood, there's power. And every time a baby is aborted, innocent, every time someone's murdered, and especially children, pure blood, there's power for darkness. See? Power for darkness. Ryan was saying that the most popular day for abortions is correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, we said it was Halloween. What these witches do, these warlocks, they conceive children so that they can sacrifice them to Satan, shed innocent blood.
Legally,
legal. That's why they pray mystify law. Mm-hmm. Even the woman who did the whole Roe versus Wade deal, she said that was wrong. She looked back on her life, she said, that thing was wrong. You're murdering people at conception, you're a soul to God. But what's behind that is to shed. There's power in blood. That's why the blood of the Lord Jesus is so powerful. It can save your eternal soul. You need that message. And it was kept secret what God's going to do through that power of that blood. But now, verse 26, kept secret since the world began, verse 25, but now it's made manifest. It is through the Apostle Paul that God is making known this spiritual truth. Okay? All right. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. So Christ rose from the dead. And although the events of the cross were prophesied, the meaning of it to you and I today in the dispensation of grace as Gentiles was kept secret. How that God would take through the fall of Israel a number of Gentile heathens, and by no works, just by God's grace through our faith, trusting His word, put us in His Son, put us in the heavenly places to serve Him. That was kept secret. Verse 4. And that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, that's Peter, and then we saw the 12, the apostles. After that, he was seen up above 500 brethren at once. Remember, that was like 25 years after the resurrection that Paul wrote this. Some of those people were still alive, many of them. Verse 7, after that, he was seen of James, that's his brother James, through Joseph and Mary. Then of all the apostles, the whole group of them, collectively with James as the head. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Remember that untimely birth? It wasn't on schedule. Nobody knew about it. Bam, he just appeared. It was a mystery. All right. Now, look at verse 9. We got 15 minutes. Watch what Paul says here. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Why would Paul say he's the least of the apostles?
He was the last one to see him.
Well,
he didn't deserve
not just because he's the last one, but what Paul saw himself. Notice he says, because I persecuted the church of God, right? Okay. All the other apostles, if you looked at their service to the Lord when they became an apostle, they deserved it, Richard, right? Mm-hmm. They were with him, man. They went through the trials and tribulations of Jesus of Nazareth. They were servants with him, serving him and God the Father in those years of his ministry. The Apostle Paul was the opposite. He wasn't serving Jesus. He was persecuting him. Fighting against him, right? And Paul looks at that. He's saying, man, I'm not deserving of this. No, you're not. That's what God's grace is. You don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve it. But by the grace of God. That's what he's saying. He says, at least those guys, you look at their life, they've been serving God all this time. I've been fighting against them.
Yeah.
And He saved me. We've been fighting against God, and He's still gracious. He'll save you today. So I want you to do like Paul. You stop fighting. Let's stop fighting God. Go to Acts chapter 9. That's what he means. In Acts chapter 9... Paul was in a position of fighting against God. Go to Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Acts 8, verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. The only way I can tell you how Saul of Tarsus was in that Jewish religion is what ISIS is today in Islam. They're going house to house, killing people. Even the women, I mean, even the barbaric, they would spare the women and children. No, just kill everybody. That was Saul. That's the guy we're talking about. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord. He went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues. So he wasn't content to do it over here in Israel. He wanted to go all the way out to Damascus, Syria, and just, hey, let's get them too. You know, the ISIS thing, the black flag of Islam, we're going to fly that summer right over the White House in America. They want to do it. They're going to keep going to God himself. Stop. That was Paul. Here we go. Watch this. By the way, all that stuff is the world being set up for the wrath of God anyway. It has to happen. All that stuff in the Middle East. Well, what did we learn about our study? Rejoice, for the Lord is at hand. Before God can get all that stuff taken care of, we believers in the body of Christ, we're going to go up to be in heaven with our Father so he can rejoice. But notice what happened to Saul. Verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shining around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The man was being convicted. God said, Stop fighting, Paul. Stop it. Stop kicking against it. You're hurting yourself, man. Stop it. And you know what Paul did? He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord. Now, other versions take that up. That Lord, that confession of him is Lord. And that's what a Jew had to confess about Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then the Lord says, I'll let you know what you're going to do. But when Saul stopped fighting and gave in, God saved his chief persecutor, who was deserving of death in the lake of fire. And that's what Paul is saying. Go over to the book of Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Go over to Galatians chapter 1. As we come down to the end. Galatians chapter 1. When he says, I am the least of the apostles, he's saying, look, man, at least those guys, deserve, you know, if anybody was deserving of apostleship, if they were with the Lord, they didn't fight against them. I'm fighting against them and he's saving them, but that's the grace of God. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Verse 11. Galatians 1:11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. People say that Paul learned the gospel that he preached from Peter. Are you saying? Peter and Paul had a different gospel. Peter had the gospel of the kingdom, Paul had the gospel of grace. If Paul and Peter had the same gospel, why did Jesus send Paul, Acts 2, our Lord sent Paul, Galatians 2, Acts 15, to communicate that gospel? If they had the same gospel, Paul would have not have explained his gospel. They say, hey, you know that gospel? Yeah, we got the same one. All right. No. Look, it was not after man. For I neither, verse 12, for I neither received it of man, no man gave it to Paul, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ, the Lord gave it to him. Verse 13, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my father. That's what your religion gets you, man. Why ISIS is destroying folks over there is because religion does that to you. It's in the name of Allah. Don't say anything about the Prophet Muhammad. We will kill you. We will blow ourselves up to kill you. That's religion. That's what religion gets you. That was Saul. You don't think if Saul had the technology we have today, that wouldn't have been him? He just didn't have the technology. This would have been Saul. He wouldn't have done it, by the way. By the way, the leaders don't do it. They send the peons out. Oh, Cedric the Entertainer, a black man, he said, he come. They had this meeting, Muslim meeting, and the guy did something. He scouted out a place. Okay, good, good. You checked out the situation. Uh huh. And then they go, well, good, man, you're the bomb. You're like, oh, thanks, brother. I'm the bomb. No, you are the bomb. You're the bomb. Put the bomb on you. But they'll blow themselves. They put the little young, you go out there and blow yourself up. Satan loves that stuff, man. Don't give you virgins in paradise. No, he don't give nothing but death. That was Paul. He profited. He was exceeding zealous of the tradition. Verse 15, but when it pleased God, but God, that's right. But when it pleased who? God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, and so forth. Paul didn't go to anybody. He went and did what God told him. One more. Man, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. So when he talks about, I am the least of the apostles, he's not saying his ministry is not as important as theirs. It's more important. We're going to see next week. He labored more abundantly than they all. What he's saying is, dude, they deserved it. If you want to look at it, humanly speaking, they labored with the Lord Jesus. I fought against him, and he uses me. That's what he means. Let's end here. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 1. That's grace. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful. Do you know what the Lord saw in Saul? A determined man. A zealot. Dude, the way he was fighting against the Lord says, I got to go down there and stop this man. God had to intervene. This guy was so zealous. But if you can take his zeal and turn it for good, you've got the greatest human being that ever was on this planet Earth, short of the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul. The greatest man that ever lived was Saul, the Apostle Paul. Greatest regular human being, not counting the Lord. You understand? Because he used that same religious zeal, gave him the truth, and that's what he saw in Saul. You, boy, when you get a cause, you're faithful to that thing. Yeah, here we go. He says, verse number 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. You insult and speak evil of God? Yeah. And a persecutor. You messing around with his people? Yeah. And injurious. You're actually hurting them? Yeah. But I obtain mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. Yeah, he was wreaking havoc. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, where? Which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy. That mercy is associated with Paul's unique grace ministry.
For this cause.
For this cause. I obtain mercy, that in me first, the body of Christ began with Paul. That's not. In me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. It's been about 1983 years or so coming up of this dispensation of grace. It may end real soon. Today is the day of salvation. Let's do this. For a pattern to them, Paul's our pattern to them who should hereafter, from Paul on, believe on him to life everlasting.
That's us.
That's us. Let me end like this. If you've never had anyone love you enough to ask you if you were to die today. See, I talk to Muslims. I read the Quran so I can talk to them. Know it better than them. They ain't got no everlasting hope besides blowing themselves. The only way you can have hope is you have to die for the cause of jihad. So why aren't all Muslims just dying for the cause? Because they don't really believe that.
You got to shed blood, too.
You got to shed blood, yeah.
That's the shed blood concept, right?
Yeah, Satan wants shed blood. Let me tell you something. The Muslims don't have it. I talk to Mormons. I talk to Jehovah's Witnesses. People on the white shirts, dudes with the bikes. The people 2x2 visiting on Saturday mornings, knocking on the door. I talk to all of them. And I ask them one question. Let me know for sure that I'm right with Jehovah, with Allah, with whoever, right now, this moment. And everyone, I'm saying, can't do that. You got to work. You got to do some things. God's grace message through Paul says, right now you can know for sure that you're going to go to heaven and be with God forever. If you believe that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed for your sins, just in your heart, you don't even got to say, oh, God can hear your heart. He's looking for it. So, yes, Lord, I believe your son shed his blood for my sins. Please impute that to me. God will save you that moment forever. this is the only message that can give you that hope. That Jehovah's Witness lady, she balled up that paper and threw it at me. She said, just read that. I said, no, I want to talk to you. Because, see, I was hidden in her soul. Don't give me no piece of paper. Talk to me. I want to know how to be right with Jehovah. She didn't know. Mormons don't know. Muslims don't know. I talk to them. If you know this grace message, you can know for sure. And you got spiritual power to talk to anybody. When you see them, instead of closing the door, open the door when you see them coming. Put some Kool-Aid out for them and some snacks. So come on in. They think you're weird. They go, wait a minute. Everybody wanted to avoid us. Come on in. Then they run out after you talk to them about Paul, his grace message. But can I tell you, you could be saved today. And if you are saved today, you've already trusted Christ, let's get on with the program because the time is short. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You need to know Paul's message, and we'll help you with that. We're NorCal Grace because grace is our message and grace is in our name. And we'll help you with that, okay? Don't delay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and life in Him. We thank you that we can get into your everlasting, eternal word. The only thing that lasts forever is what you say. We thank you that we right now today can study these things out, that we can have a magnification and appreciation of our Lord Jesus Christ and life in Him. We thank you for that pattern, the Apostle Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for us. He did it for us, Father. He showed the Lord Jesus Christ by His sacrifice and suffering for our behalf. We thank you for the Apostle. We thank you for one another here, because by being here today, we could be anywhere. We came to seek a word from the true and living God. That's what the filling ground of truth. That's why we exist. Thank you for that opportunity. Thank you that I could be your servant to share. As we have our Q&A, Father, we ask you bless that time. Give us understanding even more about the things of your Son and of you, Father, and your Spirit. We thank you for all this in Christ's name. Amen.